and at some point in time it will divert people.
So to do that, they're using traffic modeling to project these sort of changes in the impact, right?
Correct. And that's what we see, you know, with, say when the Balmoral ramp was one thing. How many people are going to actually get off at Balmoral versus go all the way through? What's that convenience? So yeah, that's something. The Huntley interchange, that was part of the analysis.
The premiums can be as, saying as low as 5 cents to affect.
The Balmoral was unique. It ended up being 5 cents. We set the rate prior to Move Illinois.
Right.
And then we had the increase that was associated with Move Illinois, so that affected the downstream. So we were going to have it was going to be 80 cents upstream and 40 cents downstream. Mm-hmm. What it ended up being is 80 cents at Balmoral and 75 cents downstream after the increase went into effect.
So that,
so the nickel isn't such a factor.
So the actual analysis that Wilbersmith did got blown by Illinois.
Right, the Move Illinois program as a whole.
You're looking for changes in that traffic pattern at Balmoral with the new mall?
We factored that into
the original.
Yes, the original. The if you drive out there, well, we have an extra lane out there across Balmoral, but it'll come in by August 1st. It's a big wide bridge, dual lefts. There's plenty of capacity through there. We have worked it out with Balmoral, with Rosemont itself. When they do have events, there's queue detection on the ramp itself that allows us to know how far it's backing up when we get to pass through on the lights themselves. So yeah, we do expect some additional traffic through there, but that was always anticipated.
Are they going to tie over to Irving with that towards the airport?
Yes, that's part of an overall plan to extend Balmoral all the way up and across to over Mannheim into the west side of the airport, not necessarily Irving Park Road, but tie it to, yes. So that was, again, factored into the design of that bridge and the interchange is that future movement, which is another entry into the airport then.
You can use it now, too. It's nice. Short.
Yes, if you know how to use it, you think it's a dead end, but it works very well. So premium tolls is something that we've implemented before, and, you know, is this something that we can and should consider in the future? And then a corridor approach. This is something that we put into the policy this time around that we've done in other locations, and Director Towns may be familiar with this. What we've looked at more of a corridor wire approach for some interchange improvements we did, I'm going to say back in 2005, 2006 range, at I-90 at Riverside Boulevard in the Rockford area, and I-90 at 173, just to the north of there, and kind of took into this account the Cherry Valley interchange as well. So we increased rates at one location, existing toll, an existing ramp, and then we opened up new ramps and set more of a premium rate there. So it's kind of a corridor wide approach to help finance the project. So we implemented that as a consideration for our new policy. So really, you know, this is where I hope to get some kind of discussion. Are there things that we're doing now that make sense, that you're concerned with? Are we approaching these in the right direction? Because where we staff will have to now start taking things as putting agreements together. The agreements themselves factor in contributions. You know, tolling is something that we start to have to look at now, is how we can cover our cost of the project. So, you know, and this is kind of where we are with this. So the thing that we want to consider is the equity. I said Elginal Harris seems to be, the mayor seemed to like the equity part of it, where people make decisions based on where they want to go. Closing some of these movements really kind of drives people to where they want to be, as opposed to making decisions based on told and untold. You know, the untold movements, is this something that we're doing at Huntley? Is that something that we should continue to look at? And then also we've got some of these free movements that are out on our system. There's about 10 or 11 movements on our system. I know Director Thomas is familiar with one of them in this area, where we created it when we pulled out some of the toll plazas and split up some of the mainline toll plazas. So these are the things that we're looking at.
Can you explain, when you're talking about balance toll rates under the first, you mean throughout the entire system?
Maybe the corridor-wide approach. Okay. You know, this is something, you know, and I would, in the Schaumburg area in particular, we're talking about possible new access between Barrington Road, which is, there's three interchanges, four interchanges that are being looked at within this I'm going to say maybe a 5 mile area. Barrington Road, Roselle Road, Meacham, and then we've got a system interchange that's interstate-interstate connection between I-90 and 53. Is there a way to maybe, should we be considering kind of the core a wider approach and balancing the tolls so you don't have these varying toll rates that we're kind of seeing, as you kind of see out at Eola Road, where you know, people make decisions because there's a toll in one location and not a toll in another location, so it kind of impacts the local roads themselves.
So, one last question. No. The difference between untold movements and free movements in the way you're presenting this is there's some existing free movements, and the question is, would it make sense in terms of equity or balanced toll rates to actually start tolling those free places as opposed to how you deal with discrete untold movements?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and there are some, again, in the Rockford area, the Boone County, Belvedere area, that they kind of, the locals have suggested maybe this is a way to approach coming up with a local share for the project of support for something like that. It's unique, but these are, you know, the decisions that that we're trying to put together.
Well, these free movements that we have now are mostly rural areas?
It's random. There are mostly are in the rural areas. A lot of them are in the Rockford area where we pulled out the main line toll plaza, or, you know, pulled out one plaza and split the other two. We also have some in the DeKalb, Rochelle area.
Is it cost effective to go through the exercise of, just for the sake of equity, the exercise of pulling it?
So those are the kind of questions that we'd have to research and answer as well.
Oh, we don't know those answers.
No.
Impact on traffic, you know, all those other issues. So
good question.
Answer.
And, you know, the idea of equity overall, in the sense that people would make their decisions based on what works best for them, as opposed to disincentives or incentives that might be created by the tolling system, I think is an approach that makes some sense.
So that might be looking at the chair for kind of the balancing type approach on these, and it's something that we haven't really done in the past, but
in the quarter system too?
What's that?
Balance it in a quarter?
That could be, you know, an option. You know, I would think it would be better if the locals, as part of their financial plan, when they're looking at it, tell us, kind of give us that feedback of the way they, what they could support.
Well, I mean, you don't want to drive and you look at whatever the study comes back and says, but I mean, it's probably in a quarter area, like the Schaumburg area, you just balance it between all of those and not drive traffic to certain places and create, you know, unforeseen problems. So, or not really have the effect that you want to have, more important.
And I think when you say the effect, and then that comment you've seen out at the Eola Road, there was more of an anticipation on what going to be your thoughts.
Well, Eola Road is 2 miles west of Route 59. 59 is, you know, has a history of being an extremely crowded road. They're doing some widening out there now, but I think that, you know, that will persist going forward. In any case, but particularly now while things are under construction, you know, obviously Eola presents a very good alternative, and it's very close. And the reality is, when we put Eola in, it's tolled, whereas Route 59, you know, is not. And so you have an incentive-disincentive situation there that, you know, may cause people, what I was trying to say, you know, can't say that people making decisions based on how much it costs isn't rational, but if you take that out of there, what people would do rationally if that weren't the situation is a direction that I think we ought to try to get to, and the equity idea would help us accomplish that. But I also do believe that when we're dealing with local communities, that if, you know, the tolling situation should be, if they're ramp tolls or whatever the case may be, we want the local community to be telling us this is what they would like to see, as opposed to us, you know, kind of simply imposing them in some cases. I think that that local support and preference is an important aspect here too.
So
So how much of this whole discussion really is driven by the Elgin O'Hare? Because we're making a lot of pretty big decisions there. And is it important to think about that separately from the system as a whole?
I think the Elgin O'Hare situation puts this in front of us as an issue with the time frame. You know, I mean, if we're looking at policies or guidelines going forward, obviously that's the first case in a sense. But I would also think there'd be some value to developing a policy that not only works for them in that case, but that could work going forward as well. And so, to the extent that we could be consistent both in that situation as well as going forward thereafter, it would be a good thing if we could do that.
Yeah, I guess my question comes from whether or not we get hung up on what we do in the Elgin O'Hare area because it may not actually be prudent or useful to think about those decisions in the context of the larger system. I don't know this, but that seems to present a very unusual kind of situation because we're coming into an area that's already built up. There are a lot of communities, there are a lot of local governments. Again, I don't know enough about it, but I just sort of wanted to figure out if we need to not drive overall policy by thinking about something that seems like a pretty particular situation.
I think outside of this context, we've talked about whether or not Elgin O'Hare will present new opportunities for separate business rules and really to treat that corridor different than the rest of the system and really what that means. Mm-hmm. Are there legal reasons that we should keep the same or really present some unique opportunities of how we treat that corridor?
Okay, so I guess that's just what I was curious about, mm-hmm. how you're thinking about that going forward. I mean, there's equity and there's equity.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what the drivers are to what you're talking about. What is it that makes us think that way?
Yeah, I think it's important to do that as we're conceptualizing this.
Yeah, what makes it unique to the rest of the system?
Yeah, what makes this a unique situation and or opportunity?
Is.
Yeah, exactly. Convince me that it's unique and that we ought to be doing something different.
But I also wouldn't want whatever the sort of subconscious or implicit things that are driving our decisions in Elgin O'Hare to drive the rest of the system without acknowledging that we have to get to the underlying question. Is it equity throughout the system, or are we trying to think about equity in the context of something that's unusual?
Have we seen any development changes in the corridor yet that are being driven by the anticipation of the Elgin O'Hare?
Not yet. We're pushing it. That's why we're out there talking to the business community to let them know this is real. We're going to start construction. It's coming. So that has been our push, I'm going to say, for the last 3 months to go directly to the Greater O'Hare, the Convention and Visitor Bureaus, the chambers, to let them know it's real. So not the big level of activity that we would like to see. But I think now people are starting to understand, though, as the chair asked, you guys are really building this? Come on. You've been talking about this forever. It's the joke out there. It doesn't go to either one. So we haven't seen it yet. But that's going to be our ask in 6 months, and we'll give you a better feel for what's really happening.
And then we'll know whether or not it is a unique situation because it's going to spur development that's unique to the region, just because of the O'Hare engine drive.
Mm-hmm. But certainly at the time we were talking about it with the local communities, that was one of their strong arguments that it was going to be so beneficial for them in terms of economic development. And it seems to me that has to be factored in when you think about what you're going to charge people using the system. If it really, first of all, how high a toll the system will bear because the concentration of industry there, but also, who's actually getting the benefits.
Do we look at the political ramifications of creating too much of a uproar over tolls in this corridor because it's so unique in that it's a wavered system. We got a wavered toll in existing
road, it was built with federal funds. I don't want to kill the concept of this maybe in the future, but...
No federal funds.
Yeah, I have to say this, and I'm kind of surprised, I've told some recently about this, is that we've been going on with the public meetings that we have. We've been telling, we want to make sure people understand exactly what's happening, when it's happening, that this roadway, there will be a toll on the existing Elgin area. By and large, you know, there's initial gravel about it. After that, people understand, okay, when you explain to them what this project is, it's not just taking the road and putting a toll on it. You're getting an extension to O'Hare, and it's not just to the west side of O'Hare, it's an extension directly to 294, then ultimately up to I-90. When people realize, oh, I can get, I don't have to take 290 anymore, I don't have to drive up through this interchange, or I don't have to do it, that's when they get it. So that's what we, it's been a focused effort on letting people know this is, it's a big project, it's real. So after the initial grovel about it, they take a little explaining. They seem to, I want to say embrace it, but they get it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's pretty good consensus of the potential for economic impact.
Sure, you would think.
There. But given that, then I think that also raises the issue of that, if that potential is so huge, then I think it goes to the issue of what is the local level of participation, and frankly, what, you know, what's required to be able to cover the toll rates participation as well.
And I think
that's a legitimate, those are legitimate questions given the idea that, yes, the potential there is huge.
How are we going to have to make decisions, though, prior to that information really becoming available to us?
We'll have our best guess information on that, you know, the local contribution might be. I think the best example of that is what happened at I-294 Balmoral and Rosemont. They took the full lead on their project. They financed the construction because they saw what the benefit was going to be to them. Once that construction started, if you drive out there, you can't miss the benefit. I mean, now they're talking about opening up this new outlet mall on August 1st. So you see the economic benefits, and they realized it.
Unique government, though.
I was just going to say, it's unique. But then there's others in Huntley's, it's a little further out there. It's more of a speculative, hey, we need this interchange because this is going to help drive the growth as opposed to what's out in Rosemont is. We're ready. We just need this to make it happen.
One other question about the Elgin O'Hare corridor. Are there comparable places where the passenger and commercial vehicle demands are going to be similar to this? I assume that's also part of what your study is going to look at, but... When we're thinking about study rates, we have to be thinking about, depending on how you describe equity, the difference between the commercial and the passenger. And one of the things we're thinking about is what's going to happen with O'Hare, how much commercial and industrial development is going to be there. We also need to be thinking about, I think, how that burden gets borne between the two classes of throwing motorcycles around. A lot of people ride motorcycles. But how the different classes of vehicles are going to benefit and be impacted by it.
That's definitely something that's a consideration for the Elgin O'Hare project, in particular on the commercial vehicle. It's a slightly higher rate than we have system wide out there. The differential on the commercial vehicle. We want, obviously, you need that from an economic development standpoint, you need to have trucks.
Right.
On that road, it's going to be a tremendous benefit for them. So that is definitely a consideration that.
And it's going to be wear and tear on the road, right?
It's wear and tear on the road, yes.
We can fix them.
I'm not against that. It's just part of the argument about equity, right?
Well, and it's equity, and then also the revenue part too.
Yeah.
If it's too high, you're just driving them. Yeah. It might be drivable, but that's one of the things that we do hear about is that I'm not going to take this road unless I really need to get somewhere. So is there any general thoughts or direction about, you know, looking at these interchanges, some of these new or expanded or interchanges on Brian 90, the thought of the corridor approach? Might be something that, you know, I could bring to the attention of as a possibility, I would say, for Hoffman Estates and Schaumburg to look at. Those are the two communities.
look at Rockford as an example. Rockford worked.
Right, and it worked there.
Yeah.
It did work there. We had a room full of people saying, this is what we want.
Local support.
So, and I would imagine that's something that the board would also like to see, are resolutions or some sort of clear support from the locals on the tolling concepts, which we didn't necessarily have in the past, outside of the Rockford area. We didn't have any of the other projects. It was just a matter of we put an agreement together, and this is how we're going to approach it.
Yeah.
So the resolution support might be there.
Well, if you go to the more of the corridor approach, does that enlarge your audience in terms of who might want to have input into the overall decision?
So.
Sure, sure. I think we have to be mindful of that. And
to make the communities a little further reaching.
Is it typically just the governments? Or do you also then get the industries and the big employers?
When we say you, I look at you as the local community to
so they bring in their interests.
And they're, the way I kind of explain to them is the support that they bring is not for me, it's for you to get that level of comfort and understanding of, okay, that we will make decisions based on the support that we have for projects or the approach to implementing projects. So it's, I put them on the job to do the work.
And how much?
Delivering the project that they want. I mean, these interchanges are, they're nice to have for us. It definitely will help. It helps operations on our system. But we've got a system today that works, and it works quite well. So these are local desires. So I do make sure they understand that it's their onus and their responsibility.
Yeah, I think that even in the course of this conversation, the committee's getting a greater understanding of the concepts that we're talking about. I'm wondering if there would be, if you could do a kind of a case study in a sense of something prospective, but how it might work under the different approaches, whether we're talking about a corridor approach or whatever, give us an example so if you can. I think see the cause and effect issues of all those the various approaches and begin to refine our thinking a little bit, because I think it's still a little foggy for most.
And that's a direction that's great, because for me that's direction to look at something, because right now I just, we've got some thoughts out there before we start doing anything from a staff perspective.
Yeah. So I think it's hard for us to figure out exactly all the upsides and downsides there to a particular approach, but I think we're starting to get an idea. But.
And maybe the decision principles that are embedded in that. I mean, do we define a corridor? Do they define a corridor? Do the existing interchanges define a corridor? Or what are the kinds of variables that, that have to be considered in each of these decision points?
It's usually it's a clear break. The way our system is, the corridor defines itself, because you've got distinct areas that, okay, from here to here, you've got access or lack of access.
What's interesting to me is that, in the older approach, is that you're looking for support from a community or a couple communities or whatever. And if we go to a corridor approach, all of a sudden it's more of a regional approach, and it's more of, if you're looking for public support, it's more of a regional support group that you're looking for, which may or may not happen, depending on various factors. So I think, just we need to be thinking about that as well. Because I do think that whatever we do, that we are way better off having a strong groundswell of support for that decision.
Which may really push people to say, look, forget the court, let's handle it here at my location. Which is great, so that puts the onus on them to figure out how to, again, finance it. And that's what the whole policy is about. It's not just about the people in this room, it's about locals figuring out the financing of the project. And the nice thing is, the policy is terrific, because we can say, look, we're going to contribute, and we're in for real dollars, and a lot of it. We just got to figure out the rest of it. So corridor approach is definitely something to be cautious of, but I could look at maybe some case studies on some of these projects, and that's something that CDM Smith, our traffic engineer, would do for us anyway, kind of look at how to finance these projects. They've run some various scenarios, so start looking at some case studies on that. I just didn't want them to do anything if it's something that is, you know, too far out of the possibility, although we do have in our policy that it wasn't very well defined, which is something that was there.
Well, I think if we're at a juncture where we're going to be making policy decisions that affect things for some years to come, that we ought to be taking a good full look.
Step back and look at the bigger picture. Any other thoughts about this? Generally okay with the policy, though?
Yeah.
I think the locals are. I mean, I think they like that there's a path. They know.
How much interaction is there with IDOT when we are looking at these as well? Because it does impact on IDOT's traffic flows and things that they would have to do future-wise, or where it may be enhancing a system for them. I mean, is there
projects?
Do they work down with the local community as well?
It varies on our the projects where we have, it's an IDOT crossroad, say I-90 Barrington Road, for example. IDOT is led the phase one engineering. IDOT and Hoffman Estates funded the phase one engineering. Now that we've moved into phase two, IDOT is very much involved with that project because that's their road. I-90 at Lee Street is also an IDOT road. So they're very much involved with that particular project because of the impact that may happen on their system. So they do get involved. Locals like to have IDOT involved too as a possible funding partner on this. I-90 at Meacham and I-90 at Roselle, those are Cook County roadways and village roadways, Schaumburg and Cook County roadways. So IDOT is not overly involved in those projects. We do look kind of on the reaches of what the impacts might be on the IDOT system on those. Our challenge is always to make sure that there's a lot of problems on the existing roadways today. And granted, there's a desire to fix those, but these projects can't be used as the venue to fix all the existing problems either. So it's kind of that scope creep that happens where we try to kind of find the balance. Okay, what's your problem out there today on the IDOT or local road system, and what's the incremental impact that will occur after our interchange is built? We should address the incremental impact, but that base, that the problem that you have today, that can't be something that is absorbed by the project, which that's something we always try to come to time with, let's fight off, let's do what we need. So that's kind of the interface that we have with IDOT. But we work with them on these interchanges. So many of them are on state roads. We're better.
So one other question for me is, does the 53-120 project present so much of an outlier that the issues that we're talking about now might be somehow affected by that? I'm thinking about cost, the whole design of it, the part of 53 that's south. I'm not sure how all of that plays into it and how much we need to take that into account when we're thinking about the ones that are much closer to fruition. And you don't have to answer that.
Yeah, question. I'm really thinking about that one. I just think of that one as such an entity in and of itself.
Right. So
there's so many questions on that now to even.
Yeah, I'd just like to have it in the back of our minds so that nothing we do on the immediate projects sort of inadvertently impacts the way we think about that one. Maybe we just carve it out and say it's something completely different, but I don't want it to.
I could say this. I mean, as I kind of run through some of the, when we went through the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council, and the report that came out of the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council's particular focus on the financing section, did start bringing in some of these concepts of looking at not just that road itself or the road to the south. It looked at other existing interchanges or free movements that we have in Lake County to help try to finance that project. So there is some.
So there is comparability.
There is comparability. You know, there are some of those things that go on out there that we make some decisions out here that may help.
Thinking about corridors.
We have done this somewhere, and okay, now we can maybe apply again if that's the direction we want to go as a policy.
Well, I think, you know, we can take it as an example of policy of a 50-50 split and say that's basically fundamental. But if whatever policy, you know, we develop here on tolling or whatever, I think Madam Chair, is going to have to be have some built-in flexibility. We can't get so rigid with things that we can't address unique issues that may relate to a particular job.
And we've had to use that flexibility. The interchange that we built, every one of them has been entirely different.
Yeah.
You think, okay, you just come up with a policy and this is how we do it, and then everyone has something different associated with it. And we've been very fortunate. You know, since 2007, we basically built one new interchange a year. That's solid for economic development. These communities appreciate that.
Well, maybe I presented the question wrong. Maybe a different way of thinking about the question is whether the policies we develop will actually, as you point out, help us think more clearly about 53 and 120, and give us some positive ways of thinking about it. It's not an outlier. It's just a different kind of problem.
Right. And then it's
any other questions? If not, thank you, Rocco. That was well done.
Thank you.
Appreciate
yes,
it.
Yes.
And moving on then to unfinished business, is there any unfinished business before us? New business? And we had, I'm getting confused with my meeting last night. We have no need for an executive session today. So with that, then I would, if there's no other business to come before us, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.